what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Brighton Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Nick Tanner.
Good evening. Tans, I've got to be called.
I'm sorry, yeah, we'll call you Tans. So Nick Tans used to play for Liverpool, Bristol Rovers, Swindon, and Norwich, I believe. I know Nick Davey's got a few questions about your career, so I'll let Nick take it away.
Yeah, hi, Tans. I noticed you back in the start of your career, you're playing sort of non-league football with Bromley Heath, Frampton Rangers, and Mangosfield United. Before moving to the Football League with Bristol Rovers. How big of a jump was it sort of there from playing in the non-league to into the Football League with Bristol Rovers?
It was actually the '80s. I know all this because I'm doing my revision for my book, so I'm going through it. I got to be honest, I've said it in the book as well. From somebody who sort of played, you know, every week with his mates, went out on a Friday night and played. You know, got £7 a week playing for Mangosfield and then ended up playing at Bristol Rovers. It wasn't that much of a difference, honestly. It was obviously the training and stuff like that gets you fitter. One of the things I'm sure is the big bugbear at the moment is the grassroots football, you know, save grassroots football. And I didn't come through any academies. I just played with my mates all the way up through. And that's one of the things I'm trying to put over with the book. And I'm sure there's all these arguments now about academies. So just go and play with your mates. And if you're good enough, that's what I'll... that you know, somebody will spot you. As long as you're putting in your effort every week and you're good enough, somebody will spot you. And that's what happened to me. And some of the lads that ended up at Bristol Rovers were actually academy players at Bristol City or at Bristol Rovers as young kids. Didn't make it. Played a couple of years in non-league football and then got picked back up again. So it can happen. And, you know, it's the best way of doing it for everybody, I think. Just let them play with your mates. Enjoy it. I mean, who knows how good you're going to be when you're 8, 9 or 10. Or what you're going to do in later life. So,
yeah,
you know, let them develop naturally with their friends, and I think that's how you get. That's my opinion on it, all the way.
Yeah, no, I saw you did go on to make 107 appearances for Bristol Rovers. Have any fond memories from your time there?
Yeah, great. I mean, I supported him as a young lad after playing. You know, used to play every Saturday, so couldn't get a chance to go down and watch him because we were literally playing every.
Play
usually Saturday afternoons, Saturday mornings if somebody wanted you in on Sunday mornings and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we had some great times. And we, you know, that's what I said with the book in that you get so many funny stories that it's a pity there wasn't social media around in them days. and the video referees and stuff like that. So, we had some brilliant games, especially against our horrible rival.
Also Bristol Rovers. I did also read here that you actually scored on your debut against Bristol City. What was that like? I bet I got you a bit of a name already there at the club.
Yeah, well, I was still working at the time, which is again a rarity. So I went back to work, and the headline was on the paper: Tanner's just the job for Bob. And I got £5 perpetual money for actually playing in a game on the night, and I can always remember because it. Literally, it's on YouTube now, you can find it. It's so fuzzy in the picture, but it's actually a very good goal. We cut in from the right-hand side and bent it in the top corner. And when I tell people that, they sort of laugh, and I go, go and have a look on YouTube. You can hardly see it, but it was half decent goal, and then went back to work the next day. So it was just, like, brilliant for me, and then that was the start of it all, really. So
that's how
things can change, isn't it? That's how luck can change. You know, things happen.
I'll certainly be checking that out myself, and I'd advise all the listeners. What should our listeners sort of search on Google, the YouTube? Is it just a simple Nick Tanner goal versus Bristol City?
It was called the Gloucester Cup. Cup goal. Yeah, I'll try and get the link up. It's a pity we couldn't have somebody to digitally edit it. Get it proper.
I'll put the link in the description when we upload it.
Well, funny enough, stuff when somebody wrote the fanzine and we're doing this research for the book. I asked them, I said, well, can you send me some stuff that you've got on the fanzine website so that we don't want to duplicate it? And the writer said, let's have a look what they got. He actually got a score from 45 yards, which is like the halfway line nearly. I swear. I don't know what game you were watching, but it wasn't that, that one. It was the corner of the box. Bent into the corner of the box, and we said, oh, we better change that. I said, no, leave it. 45 is good.
So we've had a lot of guests on the show. I don't think anyone's had quite the jump as you've had from club to club, so from non-league to Bristol Rovers and then all the way up to Liverpool. What was that like?
Well, that's the funniest story ever, because I was actually going to Torquay, funny enough, and they finished just one place above the relegation the year before. So technically speaking, Liverpool were top of the whole league and Torquay were bottom of the whole league. So I had the choice of the two. I was actually going to Torquay, and then I spoke to Kenny afterwards, and he said, well, Ron Yates, the scout, said, well, I can't believe he's going there. You know, let's get him up here. It's worth a punt. And that was it. As they say, it was history. So, but yeah, it's been chronicled many times. It's back in them days, they used to buy players from my ilk and much better players than me. And then you spend 2 or 3 years in the reserves learning your trade again. And then if you were good enough, you got in the first team. But as I've said to people, is that because they were winning everything, you didn't expect to get in the team anyway. And back then, there wasn't massive squads. So, you had one sub or maybe two subs later on, but you only had one sub and they wouldn't take anybody extra away. So if you weren't in the 12, that's it, unfortunately.
I saw you played most of your regular football at Liverpool when under Graham Souness. What was he like as a manager?
He was brilliant with us. He was brilliant with a load of young lads. He gave loads of us a chance. Steve McManaman, Mike Marsh, Rob Jones, did Jamie Redknapp his full chance, Don Hutchison. He brought all these young lads through, which people seem to forget. Steve Harkness, the list keeps on. And he's put his hands up and he's admitted he should have kept some of the older lads as well. And I think if he would have kept some of the older lads, we'd have had a good chance of winning the league. But it's, like I just said just now, how do you keep people happy? With the two subs and stuff like that, and it was very difficult for Graham. And I'm sure he said in many a times that if, back in his day, if somebody knocked on the door and said, I want to go, or so-and-so's on this money and all that, he'd just get shown the door. So he was doing exactly the same and just said to him, if you want to leave, you can go. Whereas he should have said, no, you can stay and play in the reserves, which would have probably been a better idea. But, then you wouldn't have got all of us young ones coming through, would you? So,
yeah.
Cat 22. And he gave Robbie Fowler his debut.
I was going to say, what were the biggest names back when you were at Liverpool?
Well, I came into the team. I made my debut against Man City, and there was John Barnes, Ian Rush, Peter Beardsley, Jan Mulvey, Bruce Grobbelaar was in goal, Steve McMahon, Ray Hankton. So they were league champions. And I actually, like I said to people before, they forget that I actually played in the championship winning, the last championship winning team. I started 2 games and was on the bench for 5 or 6 more. So another claim to fame.
I was going to say, it might be a while as well with the current.
I think they'll be all right. I just think, I think like anybody says, there's such an up and down with all clubs. It's not just Liverpool, it's every club. 2 weeks ago, Chelsea were the worst team. They're going to blow it. Now they're back on form again. It's just a roller coaster. And social media doesn't help, does it? Let's be honest about it. I see some of the fans on there from all clubs. And they're tweeting during the game, oh, this is rubbish, that's crap, and he's rubbish, and he shouldn't be playing, he should be shot. 2 minutes later, when they score, you go on there, that's it, it's like, bread. delete tweet, they're all on there going. Instead of analysing it, waiting till half time, and then, or waiting till the end of the game, and then having a full opinion, then they just do it during the game, and then people start throwing massive arguments. So I'm thinking, well, you can't be watching the game if you're tweeting all the time anyway, so.
Yeah, I think I've certainly learnt my lesson in the class.
I don't tweet during the game.
I don't think I've grown up with it since then. or the fact that I just follow a club that hasn't done much wrong this season. I saw your only goal for Liverpool was against obviously the big rivals, Everton. Have you just got a knack of scoring against rivals?
That was definitely not 45 yards. That was like 45 inches, if that, I think. But past, went through big Neville Southall's legs. And dubious goals committee might be out now, whether it went over the line or not, but it's in the paper, it's in history to say it went over the line, so I'm happy with that. I should have got the man from the Bristol Rovers fanzine night, and it would have been 45 yards again, and that would have done me.
We have a video of this one on YouTube as well. Or
that, well, I don't know whether that one is actually. That was on Match of the Day. So they back in them days, didn't they used to keep the rights for it? Or yeah, I think there's something on Match of the Day, and they show it, but it is somewhere different. But like I said, I mean, the own goal versus Luton's probably more watched than that one. It's got a cracker own goal in front of the cop.
And then after Liverpool, you had a couple of loan spells at Norwich and Swindon. What, any memories at either of those clubs, or is it pretty much just a...
No, they were good. They were actually during the time at Liverpool, where before Graham took over, and I, Kenny, obviously let you go out. And I went and knocked on his door and said, there's no point in me like sitting there, can I go out on loan? So I went to Norwich first, which they were in the first division then. We had a good, decent run down there, and I ran a 5 or 6 games. Came back, I think they wanted to buy me, but Kenny said no, stay, and then I ended up at Swindon playing for Ozzy Ardiles, which was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. There was no tactics, it was go out and play, that was it, Ozzy. Play out. I can always remember, he used to say the phrase of Digby, remember the ex-Man United keeper?
Yeah.
Just say, get it from the back, give it to Nick, play and do this and all that. You're thinking, that's the tactics, just go and play. It was brilliant. Nicky Hazard.
All around us, sir.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. If everyone played, it'd be all right.
You're all too complicated these days.
Yeah, that's what coaches do. That's why we were saying before, let kids go out and enjoy themselves at a young age, trying to coach them in different things. And I noticed Eddie Jones, the rugby league guys, was at do right, and he was saying the same. You can coach with this out of kids. You know, just let them go and enjoy themselves. Let them find their own way, and let them discover what they want to do. But we coach. I don't think it's the right way itself, but...
No, that's it. And I think with the... Well, maybe I'll go out and play for the master of the basics, really, and then everything else sort of becomes naturally as you move on with your opportunity for it. But,
the only thing I would say on that is, when I can always remember when you were at school and stuff like that, you would go away and try and practice with your mates. I would try and make myself better, so I could kick with both feet. People always said to me, how come you can kick with both feet? And I thought, well, that's... Any footballer that earns 20 million quid a week, what some of these earn, they can't kick with both feet, one shoe in my opinion.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They can't spend that bit of extra effort to go and practice with it. And they're talking about their tech. But imagine how much better they could be if they were both footed.
No, you're absolutely right, to be fair. But then it could get in the way of being a footballer in the sense that the glamour lifestyle of doing nothing and playing.
Exactly, yeah. You're right.
A final one for me. I saw you had to retire for a back injury. When did you sort of know your time was up? When about to sort of make the decision, really?
The actual term of it was sacroiliitis, which again is a back injury, but it's like you know in the bottom of your coccyx there's a gap between the two. It was that which was actually caused it in the end. But back in them days, I went to Graham Sooners sent me to. I went acupuncture. I went everywhere. So I had needles stuck out my legs and all that, all the different things. I had everything. Chiropractors, you know, when they put you in, they shunt you all around the place and different things.
Yeah.
And it was literally you were in absolute agony. Everything was fine. Oh, it's okay. Rest it for a couple of weeks and then you go right. Start training again. And as soon as you start trying to run, and this is what we were told later, is when the joint opens up, it's obviously giving you jib again, so you can't really stretch out. So it's a case of having to give up, really. There's no way, there's no cure for it. What it is, a cure for it now. So it's just one of them things. So, like I said, easy come, easy go. I obviously disappointed to finish, but I had a good career. I did as much as I can. I did much more than a lot of people thought I could. It only cost £20,000 when I went to Liverpool, so good value for money.
I think that's all a bit from me, I think. So I'll hand this over back up to Anthony.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
I just want to ask about the, you touched on it before about social media, the difference. What do you think of players using social media? Do you think that clubs should restrict it? Do you think, and also what do you think of the difference, like with the interaction of the fans compared to back in your day?
I think players shouldn't be allowed to get involved with it if they're playing, because it's like at work. Say you were at work. Somebody said something they didn't like to you and you went on there and some of the spats you see on there going on now between players, their employers are well within their rights, and I'm sure they can somewhere along the line is to stop them from using it. I don't know whether anybody ever has. But there's no point because you can't win an argument on that.
Mm-hmm.
You just get, you know, it's like. You just get a troll getting 20,000 people just saying, he said this, he said that, and it's just a waste of time. You can't have your own opinion because too many people come at you. And I mean, I like Carragher and Gary Neville. I think they're brilliant on that. But just because they say something doesn't mean you say it's right.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Do you think it would have changed you as a player, if social media was around in your day?
I don't think it'd change you, because, I don't think a lot of people paid attention to it. I could always stand up. I don't mind anybody saying to me, you were crap, you were this, you should have done that. You could have, as long as they say it to me face, and I can have give them a genuine reason about why. And then most of them turn around and go, oh, you're probably right. Sorry, I didn't realise that. And because they don't. They just hear one person saying a bad thing, and then they all jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And that's what social media does. It's not one person replying to an email. And unfortunately, the only way to get all these popularity states won is by getting loads of people agreeing with you. But don't mean you say you're right. I do co-commentary for Radio Merseyside, and I said on there, just because I'm giving my opinion, don't mean you say I'm right. It's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, that's gospel. Just because I said it, I thought he was bad or he was good. Have your own opinions on it. You can still watch the game yourself and not be swayed by somebody just because Graham Souness or Jamie Carragher says he was crap. Oh, yeah, he was. No, have your own opinion. That's what it's all about.
All right, fair enough. I want to ask about what you're doing now. You've mentioned your book, From a Field to Anfield, that comes out this summer, I believe.
From a Field to Anfield, which is the non-league, obviously from the non-league stuff, at Mangotsfield, like Nick said before, all the way to Anfield. So that comes out, it's being written at the moment, it'll be out August time. And I think Jamie Vardy has obviously done it since and gone on and different people have. But I think back then it was it must have been one of the first people to ever do it. To go from, like you said before, it's a bit of a culture shock going from non-league all the way up through.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said in the email, talk about non-league football. I think there's more players in non-league football to opportunity in our leagues rather than us going, oh, let's go and buy some foreigners all the time. Nothing against foreigners, but we need the better ones, not just mediocre ones coming through. That's why young kids aren't going to get a chance in the lower league clubs. I mean, like Bristol Rovers are a prime example. We need to, filter all those through and make sure that we've got all these kids coming through. Go and watch the non-league games. There's not a lot of difference between the Championship and our second division, or the National League and the lower division of the third division. There's not a lot of difference. If you didn't know who was playing, you wouldn't see a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that gap, you say it's quite small now, do you think that's smaller than it was back in your day?
Yeah, definitely. But that's what I'm saying. You could go and pick up. You could watch. If you're a half-decent scout, say a Championship club, you can take a chance on a second or third division player or non-league player. You can at Premiership level, but they won't do it. And it wouldn't happen now. I wouldn't have thought anybody's ever signed when they'd gone into the team within a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. They have to come up through divisions to get the experience. But there are decent players in all the leagues. It's just finding them. And that's what I said, just giving them the opportunities. And you have got to be in the right place at the right time. No two ways about it. But there's a stigma in this country that you've got to be a certain sort of player. We need a big striker, we need this and all that, rather than just looking at a player for what he is. So many different systems nowadays, nobody knows who plays where, does it?
Yeah, no, that's true. I want to ask as well, you do quite a few events, you host events and stuff like that. You want to tell us a bit about those?
I hosted one, I'm not ever doing any again.
Oh, right.
I was trying to do 25 jobs. I look after people when they came. I enjoy the meeting and greeting people and having a few beers with them and probably having too many beers with them, but you know what I mean? That where you can have a bit more of an interaction with them and letting the professionals do it on the stage. So I organise them, get everybody together. It's mainly Liverpool ones. We've looked at branching out, but obviously stick to what you're good at. And the older lads, I think there's some of the stores they come up with are absolutely fantastic and never heard before half of them. So it's good to get them on stage, and then we try and help charities out along the way if we can. And the next one is May the 25th, which is the 40th anniversary of Liverpool's first ever European Cup in Rome.
All right, that's great. Can I ask what particular charities you get involved with, just out of interest?
Obviously, with my dad passing away of prostate cancer, we've done prostate cancer. I've got a dog from the Bristol Dogs Home, so we did the RSPCA, and we did Charity's Chance. We did that one in Liverpool. And obviously, we thought everybody went across to America and had the treatment, everybody thought he was cured, but obviously he needs to go back up for more treatment, which is devastating. And then our next one is for Save Our Katie, which is a young girl again who's having treatment. We got to send all our, again, we can go on for hours and hours, I'm not a politician, but we have to send all our patients with cancer over to America or Germany. I've got a friend who needs to get raise money to go to Germany, so I try and help as many people as I can, to be honest. So as you can see on all the posters, I try and put below there. Just, you know, as much as you can do, but like you said at the start, you can't help everybody, unfortunately. I wish we could.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. That's really good to hear, I'm sure. Also, you can follow Nick Tanner on Twitter at NickTanner799 and check out NickTanner.com as well.
That's it.
All right, that's great. All right, well, from there, we'll move on to the 72 show, discuss some of the Football League. Let's start with the Championship. Big win for Aston Villa. They beat local rivals Birmingham. Harry Redknapp's come in as Birmingham manager, and Gabby Abbon-Lahore scored the winner, so it was a bit of a comeback for him after his problems off the field. What do you make of Harry Redknapp, Tanners? Tanners.
Nobody seems to know why he's taken on that. What he's taken on, really. I was absolutely gobsmacked when I heard that he was taking that on, the job on. He's a great manager, of players, but you can't man manage people with four or five games to go and completely change them around. I mean, that's if you can. And again, it's like the Leicester situation. How come the players were playing so bad in the first place? So if that is the case, have a good look at themselves. But he's not hiding to nothing, isn't he? Whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's a good manager. I mean, everybody says to you about, you know, he's the old-fashioned manager, and you know, like he said it before on there, and I'm sure there's English managers in this game that don't get given the opportunities. He should have been given the England job, in my opinion, because I think England's more about man management than coaching. You get players together for 3 or 4 days, you've got to try and then take them out of their club mentality into coaching and that the way you want to coach them, whereas it should be just come on in, get yourselves organised, get a bit of team spirit, and then go out and play. Again, that's what managing was all about. You ain't got the lads for enough time to try and coach them, have you?
Nick, what do you think of Redknapp?
The point was over struck first and foremost was I think we were just waiting for the day that it was going to come to an end, because it was just a disaster from day one. I think the win percentage was slight, it was in single figures, I believe. Mm-hmm. Which is just totally unacceptable. But we can go on all night, as we I think I alluded to last week on the show, about we can go on all night about how much of a great job Rowett did, how much of a bad job Zola was, but we'll only be going on all night until I'm telling like the same story. But I really think they're in a lot of trouble. Redknapp, yes, it's funny because he's a big name, but no matter who they got in, they've got a bloody big job on their hands. And I stand by my point last week that I made. I think the only way Birmingham will be safe is if simply Blackburn claim less points than them, which is very possible. Given Blackburn, I believe they've got they've got Villa at home on Saturday. Birmingham got Huddersfield at home, and then on the last day, Birmingham would go to Bristol City and Blackburn go to Brentford. Sorry. So again, both clubs you could argue have got nothing to play for. I mean, Huddersfield's probably the toughest one out. Those games, but Huddersfield will probably want to get a home advantage playoff spot. But I think the only way that Huddersfield so Birmingham will be safe is if Blackburn playing less points than them. But I think it is probably a shootout between Blackburn and Birmingham. I think that is a massive win for the Forest over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it's a straight shootout now between Blackburn and Birmingham. That final slot. As I say, Bristol City and Burton, they've done enough. Well, congratulations to both of them, especially the Burton, which I suspect we'll move on to in a minute. But yeah, I think QPR Forest, whilst they're not safe yet, I think they'll probably get it.
Mm-hmm. With Wigan, I presume you'd say that they need two wins and they need to hope that Birmingham lose both of theirs. So yeah, as you say, Tans, do you agree it's a straight shootout between Birmingham and Blackburn, or could you see someone like Forest or... You know, even
no, I don't agree with Nick. I think that again, it's the straight shootout. And like Nick said, I can't see Birmingham getting any points, so Blackburn have got to lose both games for Birmingham to stay up. But it's ridiculous. As we said, I didn't hear the conversations last week, obviously, but getting rid of Gary Rowett and then the Zola thing again. One of our English British managers gets, oh no, we need one of these foreign managers who can send so do different things that the English managers can, but they can, unfortunately, especially in that league. And it's chopping and changing is not always the best thing. Unless you've got loads of money, unless you went out and said to Zola in January, yes, £100 million go out and buy a load of players, then that's different. But to try and change the same squad around, and I don't know what your conversation was last week, but it's disgusting. And in some ways, a lot of people are saying the same. They deserve everything they're getting at the moment. So maybe mm-hmm. that'll...
Yeah, it was pretty...
This way of a chairman from doing the same thing. But I just look at Cardiff. I look at Cardiff where they shot up the table. I was trying to find them at the bottom. I thought, where are they? When Warnock took over again. English manager, not a Premiership manager. He always gets to the Premiership, but then can't stay in there or can't keep his job. But there's a manager you'd have in that Championship to get you up. I'd be putting money on him, wouldn't you?
Well, he seems pretty confident of getting something next season, getting promotion. And he said he's on a shoestring budget, but he still thinks that, you know, getting playoffs next season is possible.
He's old-fashioned, old-school, get teams organised, works with a shoestring budget, which again, in that league, is if you're not going to go first and foremost, don't go down, and then try and get in the playoffs with teams like that. Can't see him winning there, can you, next year?
No. Playoffs could be good, though, for them, possible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's what I said, is that all the leagues, if you look at that league, and you look who's going to go up, Brighton, I'm glad they've gone, I'm so glad again, because of Chris Hughton. Rafa, if he didn't get Newcastle, that'd be what a tuning, didn't let's be honest about it, everybody sort of with that squad would have got them up, wouldn't they? Even Zola might have got them up. No, hang on, sorry. but with the squads they've got, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I'm glad those two have gone up because they look the two best teams in it, don't they? Let's be honest. Then you look down at Huddersfield, look at Huddersfield's goals difference, it's just three. So I thought they would be, I've got to be honest, I thought they would be really top scorers because they go for it like Klopp does, but no, I was disappointed with that.
And Reading's is only one as well, and therefore,
yeah.
Reading play a bit more dull football though, I suppose.
But that's what I said, it was another surprise. Yeah, Sam was a surprise in the manager, but he said he won't be a good manager, and he sort of turned it around, and everybody tells me, I've seen Fulham a couple of times, they look a very good team, but they've played too many games again. They should have been at the top, but they've drawn too many games.
Well, Fulham had that bright start. I know them and Sheffield Wednesday, they've both won their last four games now in the playoffs. Leeds, we've been saying all season on the show, you know, they'll be in the playoffs with Huddersfield, Reading. And now, you know, they've lost a few games, including against Burton the weekend, now out of the playoffs. Can you see them getting back in the playoffs, 3 points off?
I'm not you. I always thought they'd be in it. But looking at the table now, and then looking at, like you said, the teams that are in form, it's the time you don't want to run out of steam, and it's like Liverpool. I go back to Liverpool. I just hope they don't run out of steam now once they've got into that position in the first place. So, but I'm not sure. It's what I said. It's the form you go into it that normally counts. And they're not in very good form, are they? Like you said, Burton, again, another great job. But it's a topsy-turvy league. Anybody can beat anybody. I know everybody says it, but they can't. Because you see some of the results now. You say, how did that happen? Yeah, I'm a Bristol Rovers supporter, and I looked at Bristol City's results and trying to work out how Gary Johnson even got his job. Everybody was saying he was sleeping with the chairman's wife, or he was related to the chairman or something. He went on a run where he didn't win for 13 games or something.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
Never been known in Bristol City's history. I mean, you should do that. Then you look at social media, it was hilarious, some of the stuff that they were putting on there. Even their own fans.
Yeah.
They were even laughing, we lost again. And they got out of it.
So, Nick, what do you think? Do you think Leeds can get back in the playoff race, into the playoffs?
Well, not to be rude, but I hope they don't. based on their when they beat us back in March, and they beat us 2-0, and their crowd was singing, "I'll replace the word for muck up, you'll muck it up," on repeat. They're singing politely to us. So, yeah, funny how that's turned out. For that reason alone, I hope they don't go up. But no, I mean, to be fair, it's Gary Mark's done a superb job there. But the running, you know, you talk about run-ins and stuff, teams holding their nerve. They clearly haven't held their nerve. Again, it was a big win for Burton, but that's on a different story. But it's as I say, I will talk about Fulham. I think Fulham have been outstanding all season. They've come unnoticed, I think. They've been scoring a lot of goals. They've been very entertaining. They've been strong in all areas of the park. But they've sort of almost gone unnoticed. They have been in the top six, but now they are there. And I actually think if they do get the first spot, I said it last week. I think they'll go up. Mm-hmm. I fancy them for the playoffs. I really do. I think they're as I say, they're strong in all areas of the park, especially going forward. They're brilliant. I think
I really fancy them if they are to confirm that playoff spot. And I think now they've got a 3-point advantage with two games to spare. I think it's them and Leeds shooting out for that last spot, and I just feel the only ones that have confirmed a spot. But I think Leeds have got Norwich at home. Norwich have proven against Brighton, then like Mugs. And Fulham at home to Brentford, again a bit of a derby. So that'll be the interesting week. And then on the last day, Fulham have obviously got Sheffield Wednesday away, which we've been talking about all season. That could go to the last day. And then Leeds go to Wigan. The running is interesting, but I think if Fulham can get in there, they'll go all the way.
It's funny as well, because I know Fulham and Huddersfield were the top two at the start of the season, and we were saying earlier on, you know, they're definitely going to fall away. They're not going to be in serious contention come the end of the season.
No, we said it all along. Yeah, I think Fulham, Fulham have made some tweaks as well throughout their league. I think they started off the season with Matt Smith up front. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's now QPR.
I got off there. I don't know what happened there.
No worries. It's all right.
Yeah, as you said just now, they do get up then. If they're singing songs like that, yeah, get them out. I said that, didn't I? They've got momentum now, and they deserve to be in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll move on to League One. Final games, all the teams played 45 games now. The final games are all Sunday at midday. there's still a question over the last relegation spot. Port Vale got a big win over Walsall. They beat them 1-0. So it's them, Gillingham or Bury, that could go down going into the last game of the season. Tans, who do you see going down, joining Swindon, Coventry and Chesterfield?
I couldn't give a monkeys because Bristol Rovers didn't get in the playoffs. So I think the players were happy they didn't get in. But they've got Millwall. Bristol Rovers just going on to them in the last game of the season. They got Millwall. So this is one of the leagues. I went down and watched Bristol Rovers against Sheffield United, and it was literally just hanging on. Bristol Rovers were that Sheffield United were so far ahead of them with their squad and everything. It was a case of that. And Bristol Rovers are quite out of the league now. So it's a difficult one, isn't it? This is because there are literally three or four teams that can go down, aren't there, in this one. Form-wise, I just think when you look at the games now, you just need to pick the teams that are winning the last game. So that would be Gillingham, I would have thought. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get out.
Just going back, I'll give you a chance with Bristol Rovers. What do you think going into next season? Do you think they'll be looking for playoffs next year?
Like you said in the earlier conversation, when they went down to non-league, Darryl took over, and you just thought, well, how did they go down in the first place? Because they'd never been in, the club's never been in that league, and it was they changed manager every year or whatever, and they tried this, tried that, bought these different with it. And then they come back up and they start with Darryl. Obviously, they won promotion last year. To see them in the position, or we went to Wembley as well, but to see them in the position they're in now, you've still got some fans moaning that they haven't made the playoffs. Yeah, to me, they haven't bought a lot of players in. I know what the budget's not very big. To do the job he's done is absolutely fantastic. And apparently he turned down Leeds, so people were saying he was done, people were coming in for Darryl. So next season, I just hope we've got former players, the first one tomorrow at the Memorial Ground, funny enough. So I'm hoping we can have a chat with the new chairman down there, Wheel, and ask him to give the manager some money and see what he can do, because he hasn't had any money. I don't think we spent any money on anybody. It's all free transfers and stuff, so he's done a good job to get them that far. And like in our day, I think the club are happy they're not going in the playoffs, to be honest. You know what I mean? With the money side of it, if they did go up again, what are they going to do? Because I don't think the structure's in place financially for them to go up. It's one of them Rotherham-type clubs, if that makes sense. You know, they've gone up this year and just, got cut adrift at the bottom of the championship. So if they would have gone up this year, I don't think they were ready to do it. But they're building. They've got a good manager there. I think he's very good. Mm-hmm. Steve Yates is an assistant and Marcus Stewart. So both Bristol Rovers players, legends, as you call them, from the past. So their structure's in place. They look quite good. So playoff minimum next year. If they put some money in, but if they keep... This is what the fans have got to understand. If they don't put money in, if you don't go down, you've had a good season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people forget. Their away form's horrendous, so I don't know what they've done. Last season it was brilliant, but this season is horrendous.
Moving back to the relegation battle, do you think Port Vale can get a win at Fleetwood on the last day of the season to avoid relegation?
I think they've got a great chance. I think they'll be absolutely buzzing off their win against their win against Walsall. I think they've got a great chance. Admittedly, what's letting them down is
have got a they're still in a chance of getting promoted themselves against Bolton. So I think that'll be their downfall. But I think they'll be okay.
I think they'll go down. See, I reckon Gillingham will be all right. So there we are. All about opinions, like we said before, it's all about opinions.
I'd like to see Port Vale stay up because they have had some good form recently, but I can't see them going getting a win against Fleetwood myself. But yeah, you know, different opinions.
Yeah.
Apparently their stewards are sound the optimistic.
Millwall have lost their last two games, so that's opened the door for Southend or Rochdale potentially to take that last playoff space again. You know, like Leeds, we were thinking they had a decent chance of playoffs for a while. But, you know, they might lose it on the last day.
And they're at Bristol Rovers, which, again, don't be going down Bristol Rovers. Steer well clear. And Bristol Rovers, I think they'll probably, they'll probably try a few players out, I think, at the end of the season. Because they've let a load go. I know they've let quite a few players go. So I know there's no sentiment in football, but it's nice for us. No, they can't play for anything, whether they give them a game or something, just so that they're see them for the last time.
So with Bristol Rovers not having anything to play for, what do you think, Nick? Do you think Millwall can hold on to that sixth place?
Well, I think it'll be the classic. Bristol Rovers had a great season, and I can't see a manager like Darrell Clarke, I can't see him rolling over and letting Millwall have it. I think it's at Bristol Rovers ground, their fans would love to do one. I think hypothetically, everyone loves to do one over at Millwall, so I think they'll be up for it. And I think also you have to take into consideration Southend and Rochdale. They've been, especially Rochdale, again, they're another one, but like we said, with Fulham, they've almost gone unnoticed in League One. They've picked up a lot of wins. Keith Hill's done a great job there. They got Bradford at home again. That's a tough ask because Bradford can still get home advantage. So there's a lot to play for going into this last day with a lot of games. I mean, even so, teams can get home advantage for the second leg, which is very key, as it's proven over the years. Fleetwood Bolton find out if they lost that. Obviously, we've already discussed the relegation bout, but and obviously playoffs are still to be decided. But yeah, I think Rochdale home game against Bradford, and then Southend have got home game against Bury, who we're not safe yet. So literally, all these games, there's teams sort of almost fighting for everything, really, in the big games,
which makes a change.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great to see. So I think League One's been at its best this year, and I think some teams in League One could be a bit annoyed. Then they've really been exciting. The Championship almost so big these days that gets a lot of telly. I think you could argue that League One and League Two deserve a bit more telly time, because I think there's been some great stuff when I've been watching League One games this season, especially the entertainment value's been great. I mean, I watched the Scunthorpe Bradford game up there, and that was absolutely brilliant game of football, very entertaining, and two sides that look like they can hold their own in the league above. So, look, all credit to it. It's been a great season, and just a good luck to all the sides for their final day. And as I say, yeah, I think it'll be interesting what then. But as I say, the only one I hope I'm proved right is Paul Bell's stuff, because
Gillingham.
I could do a bit of a smile.
You were good. You were a good nail on the other day about them playing more of the games. And Sky used to have quite a lot on, didn't they? They used to play quite a few of the games on.
Well, I'd put them on
a Friday night, me. I'd put them on a Friday night. There's no Premiership football on. People can watch it and go out if you want to go out. I switch on Sky and I pay me a subscription. I'm watching Aravidersi, whatever it is, or some rubbish that nobody really gives a monkeys about. I don't know what their figures are like, but who cares about that? Does anybody care about the Dutch league?
No, exactly. I completely agree.
When you rather watch, seriously, a local derby like Sabre Argument, say Plymouth Exeter or something on a Friday night, which again, Plymouth done fantastically, or local derbies, they could put them on and better than watch it. I don't even know the name. 20NJ, whatever bloody boss name Steve McLaren managed.
820.
No, remember rubbish. What's
yeah,
the point?
20 or something. Yeah.
I don't know why they changed it.
No, that's a whole.
Yeah, so get the Dutch football for next year at Sky. We're not having that. That's rubbish.
We did do a show earlier.
But you see what they're doing? This is my big sale of it. See what they're doing? They're taking people away from going and watching lower league football by sat at home watching Dutch football on the telly. Whereas they should be going down to their local clubs and watching it non-league or, you know, league clubs as well. Go down and watch your local clubs.
Watch your local clubs, absolutely. No, I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
There we are, put them Sky to right now.
There's another, just one final story I want to mention in League One. Chad Evans looks like he's likely to be signing for Sheffield United. He's currently playing for Chesterfield, who are bottom of the league. And as a little side note, I've got that they play each other on the final day. Chad Evans, a bit weird one to see him back at Sheffield United after what happened before.
It seems a bit of an odd move, only for the fact that he hasn't done much since, like, he hasn't scored a Chesterfield for a while. It's not like he's come off the back of 25 goals this season, and then, yeah, I can understand the re-sign, but I don't really get it. It's, I know, obviously, there's been there, and he's used to play for them, and then all of that trouble that went on, yeah, that's fair enough, but I just don't get the fact that he's at Chesterfield now, and he hasn't actually done an awful... He started off well at Chesterfield, but he's gone a bit quiet on the football. That's the bit I'm a bit confused about. Unless there's
he's probably happy with that. He's out of the spotlight. He needs to be to a certain.
Oh yeah, that's it. It just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, especially now they're in the Championship as well.
Is he definitely going back, or is that just rumour?
It's no, rumour, but it seems a pretty strong.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost set in stone. Yeah,
I'm with Nick. I can't see the point. But again, it might be a case of saying that the lad's now out. He served his time, or he's innocent. Whatever. We're not going to go into all that. But isn't he entitled to go back and try and resurrect his
career? That's what I think. Is that what it's all? Is there more to it than football? Is it more just the fact that he's legally allowed to go back due to the fact that obviously he's won his case now and everything.
And they didn't want to, obviously they knew they had a chance going up, but they didn't probably want to bring him in and have all the furore going around it, so perhaps he was better off going to Chesterfield and just, like you said, he happened in the headlines, lying low. But yeah, I think, like, when you see stuff like that, and again, we don't want to go into the, but he's done his time, he's you know, what else can he do? I don't see what else he can do, really. Give him another chance.
All right, just quickly move on to League Two, a few stories there I want to discuss. Top three is all confirmed, as we all know. Doncaster, Plymouth, Portsmouth all going up. But the battle for playoffs, very competitive, and it has been for a while. You've got Exeter, Blackpool, Stevenage, Mansfield, Wickham, Carlisle all separated by just 3 points. I don't suppose you can try and guess who's going to go up with 2 games to go, or is it just pointless me asking you for predictions because it's impossible to try and call?
I'll let you go first on that one, mate.
Yeah, well, I just think, like I said earlier on, is I did the Plymouth game for Liverpool and I thought they were, their fans and everything were brilliant. And I'm glad Portsmouth have gone up. It's another big club. I don't think they can get back on track. Look at the names of the team, Luton Town. I mean, they were in the Premiership when I played, so that was always scored me own goal against the Anfield. But it's one of those leagues, again, I know we're saying it again, where there's still excitement to the end of it. And this is the thing people moan about the playoffs. But it keeps the season going. If that was it now, say the season was finished now, those three teams would be up. There'd be nothing else. There'd be nothing for anybody to play for. So it's worked brilliantly, I think, the playoffs.
I absolutely love the playoffs as well. It's my favourite. Yeah. I mean, I think I'll enjoy it more. I mean, it's usually just doom and gloom because we go out in the semi-finals. And then we have to watch on with NBA clubs having their day out of Wembley. But I do love the playoffs. I think they're a fantastic concept. And you've only got to look at over the years. I think the most obvious one that springs to mind was that Podesta game a few years ago. How entertaining that was. I think their quality.
Yeah. That's what I said. I wouldn't be able to give a comment on this because, like I said, I couldn't comment apart from watching Plymouth play and stuff like that. But it does make it go down to the last game. It's going to go down to the last game, whatever happens. But again, look at goal difference up there. I mean, Stevenage have got 7, so you're basically saying Blackpool and the teams above them have got another point. So and the teams below have only got 5 and 4. So that's the difference. People think that forget all about goal difference, but I look at the Premiership and I think that top four could go on it as well. Do you know what I mean? It's that. We need to score a few more goals, and we don't need to let so many in. So it is, you know, a point, especially down the bottom as well. But you could basically say Blackpool, Exeter, and Luton have got another point, haven't they? So it's between Stevenage, Mansfield, and Wickham, I would say.
Yeah,
that good theory, or what? I thought it was quite good.
No, it's very good. No, I could completely agree.
Yeah.
No, it's nice to see the teams with the highest goal difference. I don't know if you've ever done any stats on this, but the teams with the highest goal difference there are all in the top. The top six with the highest goal difference are all in the top six.
Could be an interesting, some interesting stats to look at for a playoff show or something. I'll look into that. What was I going to say? I think
give my ideas.
I'll let you keep it if you want. It'd be interesting to see.
What? Division 1 as well, there's only one of the teams like Southend are in 7th, have got 16, but the rest are all in order.
Mm-hmm.
Going down 44, 29, 21, 24, 19, so they're all in the rank. So.
Yeah, that's true. I think going back to your earlier point, though, I think about the playoffs, I think it's a question of do you want fairness in football or do you want the excitement? I think that's the big question, really. Personally, I do like the excitement factor, but I can see, you know, how you can call it unfair that teams that finish, you know, third or fourth in the case of League Two, who've had a better season, maybe don't go up. And it I guess it can be a bit frustrating. I mean, I can speak of this, you know, thinking of Derby a couple of years ago, finishing third, and, you know. But, yeah.
But they know what they're into, when they sign up for it. So the quickest way to do that is to make sure you get to the points beforehand. So in a way, it works better for teams. And, I mean, I just think that once it's set in stone what you've got to do, then you've got to aim for that. I mean, the lower, some of the teams down the bottom, like I said, the Bristol Rovers, apart from 2 weeks ago, had a chance of getting the playoffs. I didn't think it was possible, even from last season, thinking what they spent. But they were still in it until last week when they got battered away again.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make it exciting for more, and I'm sure it helps with the crowds. When the crowds go on, we've still got a chance to get in the playoffs. I mean, I heard people in the pub saying we've got to go down because they've still got a chance to get in the playoffs. Now they haven't got in the playoffs, they don't bother.
Mm-hmm.
So it does generate interest.
And just to finish, I want to talk about the two clubs in the relegation zone at the moment. Hartlepool, Dave Jones left the club by mutual consent because Jeff Stelling told him to on Soccer Saturday is the basic reason. Do you think this raises a few questions, though? Him going on Soccer Saturday when he's like, I think he's the chairman or he's involved with the club anyway behind the scenes. To me, that doesn't ring right for me if he's going on using his position in media to get rid of him. I don't know.
Walking with him on the prostate cancer walk here on June the 3rd, so I can't be careful what I say. But I'm with you, especially when they've still got a chance of getting out of it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, like we go back to when we said about Zola coming in and Harry Redknapp coming in. There's still the same players there, unless they're going to give them vitamin injections or do something with them, give them blood transfusions and change them completely. You've still got the same players. Do you know what I mean? You've still got that same, what are you going to do in two games or are you going to change it round? Unless Jeff's going to go and do it.
I don't know. They've not appointed the manager yet, have they?
Well, let Jeff do it. If he thinks he can do better, that's what I said. Jeff thinks in that situation, if people think they can do better and they've got him out, so will you have a go there, Jeff? If you get relegated, it's your fault.
They've given the job. Dave Jones, I think with the point of Dave Jones, it's proven to be a manager who's a bit, it's a bit rude to say, but a bit outdated, in a bit past their cell life date in the football league, I think. It's true, though, isn't it? You've got a few managers that have sort of struggled over the years, and they've got Brian Little, managers like that, and I think it's just the classic case of, he's got a great CV, he's done a great job in the past at a lot of clubs, but you have to just take into there's quite a Peter Reid as well, as managers who are sort of almost, as I say, not with the times really. And, I think it's proven a classic case because they were miles above the relegation.
I agree with that.
I think they've appointed Matthew Bates to end the season. He's got no experience at all. I mean, you know, he might have a good case, but he's got two huge games. And as I say, I just can't believe that we're actually talking about it going to the final day, given how
it should have been done ages ago. When you see the slide coming, that's when you've got to stop it, isn't it?
That's when you've got to stop it. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Look at Zola. I mean, Zola's a prime example of that. He's gone, they've let the slide go. Everybody can see what's happening. You know, and they were happy with the draw the other week, and I was like, God, mate, you should be. We've got a point. They were dancing around and they won the league. But you can see that we slid, and sometimes you just got to cut your nose off to spite your face and go, sorry, mate, I know, you know, we got you in, but you got to go to give somebody else a chance. But doing it before the end of the season is, whatever happens there, nobody's going to come out good out of that, are they? Even if they stay up, they all did really well there and all that. But it's just gone ridiculous. Like,
and then you have to look at it as, Matthew Bates, if he comes out looking at you like, they've got a decision to make, they give him the job, but then you're judging it over two games, and that's quite a risky thing going for a whole new season or a pre-season.
I mean, no, it's on all this, all the comments we've been making about the managers, nobody's blamed the players. Nobody's saying how bad the players, their attitude must be. Even if you don't like somebody, you still go out there and put 100%. You know, I've managed non-league football, and one of the things I've always said, I don't care how crap you are, as long as you run around and you give 100%, then that's all you ask for.
That's all you ask for,
yeah.
The same players that were halfway at the table, aren't they?
But Before we, I think we also need to give a lot of credit to Graham Wesley, the job he's done at Newport County.
Yeah.
He's done a superb job. So they did look dead and buried. I know we can look at it about the slide from Newport and Cheltenham have never really got out of it. But fair credit for it, because their players have done so almost done a late in order and almost given up and lost faith. But they've done absolutely extraordinary well to get back in. As I said, they're taking it to the final day. You have to say it's advantage. We have to even say it's advantage Newport going into the last couple of games.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference, isn't it? They got. I mean, I seen the locals. We're near Newport down here, so I seen some of the stuff that was going in the paper down here. The managers before were Paul. He was with me at Bristol Rovers, and I'm trying to think of his name, was the assistant manager now. Sean McCarthy. Well, Sean McCarthy was at Plymouth, and he was the assistant manager at Newport, and he was sort of saying that, you know, and then when they got sacked or whatever they want to call it, they went in there, and apparently some of the players were saying Wesley got in there and just ran the balls off them and stuff. Well, that's what he means to do stuff,
though. Absolutely.
Just want to finish talking about Leighton Orient. There's obviously the problems we've documented throughout the season. We've had Emil Reitz on the show as well, but now they're definitely down. That's official. Barry Hearn's quit the club. He said that's against the owners rather than against the club itself. He said he loves the club. I know we've spoke about it on the show. Me and Nick have numerous times. Tans, what do you think of the situation there? And do you think that's the end of Leighton Orient?
Well, I hope not, because again, it's one of the clubs that have been around for so long. But it's the age old thing is we're saying that about so many clubs now. All these people think they can come in and take over, and it looks great, doesn't it, running a football club for their egos and stuff. And they end up just completely cocking them up, trying to change things around in the background of how they think it should be done and what they think's best. And it just ends up in this situation all the time. It's ridiculous. Barry Hearn, in all fairness to Barry Hearn, he should have probably said, well, I'll buy the club off you and try and take it off of myself, not quit.
Yeah.
I didn't quit. You know, at the end of the day, if he wants to take it on and stand up for the club, and if he loves the club that much, he won't let them go under, will he? He'll try and get them straight back up if something happens, if they can get rid of the owners. But, again, it's put up or shut up, isn't it? At least Jeff was pretty vocal to put up.
No, I agree with Barry. I agree with that. I mean, I think Barry Hearn's sort of almost, he's quit the club. I know he's blaming the owners, it's easy to do that. But I reckon he also sees it as a bit of West Ham on our doorstep now. We're getting relegated. This is just an easy excuse to walk as well. Yes, yeah. I may love the club, but as you say, if he loved it to that extent and out of his welfare, he could easily keep the club afloat.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If he was that sort of person, whether he's got something in the background just doing that so that they do walk out and just, you know, let him have the club back off, it's a sorry shame, isn't it? Let's be honest about it. It's another club going to, hopefully don't go to the war, but there's so many clubs in the situation now, you know, and then you look at non-league as well, and it's exactly the same situation. How do you run a football club? Let's be honest, if you were running a football club yourself, I've been a man, it's probably 13 people to get paid every week properly at non-league level. So God knows what it's like to actually pay staff and everybody else. Mm. You know, budgeting and workout budgets. We used to get 100 people watching, so you can imagine how much money we generated from that. Not a lot. But it is, you know, it's a business. And that's what people got to understand as well. It is a business, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else anyone wants to mention. Or
the National League, can we just go out non-league? Because my mate Ian Weston, who played for me at Bristol Rovers, he's the physio at Forest Green, and you talk about a club like Brighton, who's always in and about it. They're, every year they seem to be steamrolling away with it, and they end up in the playoffs, and they're in the playoffs again, and I can see it happening again. They're not going to get there again. So, but it is that's a difficult league. I mean, you look at that. That's where all the, like we said before, is where young lads maybe get a chance, or it's all ex-players playing and, you know, big-time Charlies, as they call them down there. But that's a difficulty.
Uh-huh.
It is a difficulty.
Well, Lincoln
ran away with it. They were, that's what I said, Forest Green were running away with it, but they kept stuck with the manager. They're still in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But it is difficult.
Yeah, full credit to Lincoln on the promotion. Danny Cowley's done a superb job, obviously, with, I think he's got a big future in the game, whether in it's at Lincoln. But obviously, sort of the job he did at Braintree, great. Now he's at Lincoln.
Yeah.
We only got to look at the cup run this season, how fairy tale that was. And best luck.
I hope he sticks with Lincoln just for one season at least. Do you know what I mean? To see what happens, because a lot of managers do that. And they tend to go off somewhere else. you know, if he's built the club up, let's see if he can just give him, because he hasn't managed in the league yet with them, so give him a chance in the league, isn't it? Let him see what he can do in the league.
All right, well, yeah, we'll end the show there, if that's all right. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. Check out our website, v2football.com. Also, check out Nick's details. We mentioned them earlier in the show, but again, it's at NickTanner799 or NickTanner.com. Yeah, you've been a great guest. Thanks a lot for your company, Nick Tanner. And also, Nick Davey. It's good night for me and good night for my guests. Good night.
What, man? Cheers, Nick.